Hey, brothers and sisters, in the gospel of today, we hear about a man who's born blind. And so what I want to do here eventually in this homily is I'm going to talk to us about the five senses. We know sight is one of them. And you know what I'm going to do today? I'm going to tie the spiritual realm to all five of our senses. For instance, smell. When you see and someone says, God bless you. Why? Well, you are going to learn today. But we need to get to that point first. First reading of today is about a man named David. You know, everyone, and what can we learn from David? Here's one thing. You know, everyone, when I was in primary school, my classmates, during the warmer time of the year, we used to go outside and we used to like to play football. So everyone, we'd always pick two captains. First captain would always choose the best player in the class, next one, the next best, and back and forth it would go until it came down to one final choice. And inevitably, it always boiled down to the same two or three. And one of those two or three was the man standing before you today. Okay? Now, with time, everyone, I got to be a lot better athlete. But remember, everyone, that was back in the primary school years. And you know something, Father? Is that kind of sad? Well, not necessarily. Because look at what happens in the first reading of today. Look at who God chooses. He chooses the blind. He chooses the youngest. He chooses the overlooked. He chooses the outcast. So that means if God was the captain, guess who would have had a pretty good chance of being chosen first? Me. That's the way God does things. Read the Bible. It isn't the world's list of who's who. It's the sinners, the outcast. Today, the blind man. Last week, it was a Samaritan woman. He just takes things and he turns it upside down. That's what you hear in the first reading of today, don't you? Samuel goes. God says, go and anoint my king. So he goes to the sons of Jesse. First one comes up, Eliab. And what does Samuel think? This is him. Look at him. He's strong. He's handsome. He's mighty. Got to be the one. God says, no, no. You're looking at things the way the primary school captains did. I look at different things. So starting from the oldest, we come to the next, to the next, to the next, to the next, to the next. None of them are there. So Samuel, let's go to Jesse. Got any other ones? Yeah. My youngest, David. Call him. Here's the youngest. And what does God say? That's the one. There he is. Anoint him. See, Samuel would have done it differently. But it isn't the way that God works. Brothers and sisters, think for a moment about the Lenten journey. Ash Wednesday, remember, we were called to pray, fast, be charitable. First Sunday, we were told what we're doing now. For 40 days, 40 nights, we go into the desert. It's a place of quiet, peace. We converse with Jesus. Then look at who we're introduced to. Story of the Transfiguration. Jesus takes with him to Mount Tabor these three, Peter, James, and John, fishermen. Okay, last Sunday, we heard about a Samaritan who to a pious Jew was considered a half-Jew. And also, everyone, a very sinful woman. Divorced 5 times. The man she's with now isn't even her husband. And this week in the gospel, everyone, we hear about a man born blind. Now, we have to understand as we hear the words at the beginning of today's gospel that there is a sense of truth, everyone, to what is being said. That this idea of blindness had something to do with sin. That's what you heard. Okay, the confrontation is this. Man is born blind. Whose sin is it? The parents, or is it his? Now, isn't that very interesting when you think about it? Here's a man born blind who's never made a choice, and yet somehow the accusation is this, that because of a sin that he has done, he is born blind. It doesn't make a lot of sense, does it? How can you sin if you've never even come from the womb yet? But that was the understanding. And people, these are the people that we hear about in Lent. Three fishermen, David the youngest, a Samaritan, a sinful woman, and we hear today about a man born blind. Look in Forbes 500, you will find none of them. But in the story of salvation, they are the story that we hear during Lent. It's amazing, isn't it, how God does things. Okay, now, today's story, a man born blind. How does the story unfold? Well, here is a man born blind. Jesus comes up, spits, makes clay, smears it in his eyes, and all of a sudden the man can see. Wouldn't that be incredible if the first person when we open our eyes and are able to see is Jesus Christ? That'd be amazing. There is Jesus. But he's healed. And we realize, so much like the Samaritan woman last week, that slowly but surely, not only is he given physical sight, he is also given the ability to see spiritually. So now we come to my exercise that I want to do to you. We realize the five senses are what? The ability to see, to hear, to smell, to taste, and to touch. I can tie every one of those to the spiritual realm, and I'm going to do it for you this morning. Here we go. Touch. I'm walking along, everyone, along a sidewalk. All of a sudden, I see someone fall. I have a choice. I can either keep walking, or what can I do? I can reach out my hand, and I can help them back up. The hand of Jesus Christ. Touch. The ability to taste. My father is the greatest teacher about this. He taught the greatest gift we have can also be the greatest vice we have, what we say. Here's his quote. What goes in, never can we take back in. True. Once you throw it out, you can't take it back. It's like a text. Once you hit the send button, it's gone. And you know something, everyone? So much of what we say determines our taste. Three, hear. There you are in the workplace, everyone. And all of a sudden, the gossip starts to fly. Okay? And we have these lobes here, right here, everyone, these outer lobes. We call these ears. And when it comes to what we're hearing, which goes into our brains, everyone, and eventually throughout our body, everyone, we have a choice. We can either take part in the gossip, or else we can say, you know what? I'm going to step away. I want no part of this. But I will tell you this. What goes in these lobes determines a lot of who we become. Here's an example. If you stand there and you listen to gossip and you enjoy it, guess what's going to happen? Eventually, you're going to speak it. You're going to say it. So remember the impact that these two lobes have on your spiritual life. Okay. Smell. Have you ever heard someone say after you sneezed, God bless you, and go, why? No? Where does it come from? There's a story. Here it is. Back in the 6th century, a disease arose in which sneezing, that is right, everyone, sneezing, was considered a mortal symptom. It was believed that people could die from sneezing. And so, thanks to St. Gregory the Great, a pope of that century, he recommended that whenever a person sneezed, another person politely say, what? God bless you. Which is another way of saying, may evil death stay away from you. Still appropriate. Someone sneezes, you say, God bless you, and they wonder, well, why? I mean, what's this got to do with everything? Tell the story. And just simply say, Pope Gregory the Great said, say, God bless you. And what we're really asking is that evil, that also death stay away from you. That it can't even enter evil. Death even can't enter through your nose. Okay? Keep it out. And finally, sight. People, it doesn't necessarily mean that if you have spiritual, physical sight, that you always have spiritual sight. Share a story that a priest once shared with me. It's a great story, everyone. And I really have to commend him for saying it because it's really quite a story. But here it is. One day he was covering a parish and he had the early mass and he got up everyone and it was dark outside. So driving along, there were no cars. There are no people, everyone walking. Well, as he's driving along, he finally comes across a person walking across the street, carrying what he believes is something. He didn't know, but he kind of guessed maybe it's groceries. But the person, everyone, he gets across the street, comes to the curb, and all of a sudden trips and falls. And so he has a choice. He can either stop and help her, or else he keeps on driving. So what does he do, everyone? He looks at his clock and he realizes, if I don't keep going, I'm going to be late for Mass. So he keeps driving. Okay? Well, as he keeps driving, everyone, he goes past. Now, he looks in the rearview mirror, and now all of a sudden, he realizes the woman isn't even moving. Again, he's faced with a choice. Do I keep driving, or do I stop and help? He looks at the clock, and he says to himself, if I don't keep going, I'll be late for Mass. So he drives on. Lo and behold, as fate would have, that Sunday, during the course of the homily, he preached on this, the golden rule. Do to others as you would want done to you. And guess how that felt when he preached the golden rule. In homiletics class, we were always taught this. Never preach to the people and only the people. If you're giving a homily, give a homily that touches the people and you as a presider. Never point fingers. Of course, it hurt. So on the way home, everyone, he took the same route that he came. He got to that curb. No woman, no police car, no ambulance, no one. And to this day, he shares the story. He has no idea whatever became of that woman. But you know what? He can say this. I couldn't believe how inconsiderate, how spiritually blind I could be. Physical sight did not always mean that we have spiritual sight. And that's the story of the gospel of today. Amazing. Men, religious leaders, born with physical sight, are really spiritually blind. A man, everyone, who's never met Jesus before in his life, probably has nothing to do with religion, born blind, all of a sudden is the one who has spiritual sight. It's an amazing story about how God, again, turns things completely upside down. So my challenge for you this week, everyone, is to think about those senses spiritually. Ask yourself, am I using them for good? Use them for good. Use them to build up the church. Use them for the sake of Jesus Christ. Let's conclude with our sign of the cross, everyone, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.